Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
A lot of people struggle with email marketing. Today's special guest, Tom Ruich, has been at it for a quarter of a century. And he's discovered some pretty interesting things about using stories as well. In 2001, Tom founded an email marketing business called Market Vault. This was very early in the online business revolution. His company licensed their software to businesses worldwide and used it themselves as part of a full-service agency. Tom sold the business in 2019. In 2021, Tom launched Implementum, a marketing platform that creates strategy, done-for-you custom campaigns, and provides training. We'll talk about that, but first we're going to talk about his impressive and very useful new book, Story Power Marketing. His simple and practical approach puts storytelling in marketing within the reach of just about anyone, whether you consider yourself a storyteller or not. But first, that familiar reminder I know you've been waiting for. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast. Most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So, Tom, welcome, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, David. Really, really excited to be here.
Yeah. So, Tom, you and I share the same beef with the idea that the best stories for business are the hero's journey. Before we get into your approach for sales storytelling, could you share what you find wrong with this widespread devotion to hero's journey stories?
Yeah, and I'll answer your question with a story. I had a client come to me, read my book, signed on for my business Story Power Marketing, and he said to me, Tom, the thing that I love about what you do is you keep it simple. And he told me that he had bought the book and signed up for the coaching program with one of these guys who preaches that storytelling is all about the hero's journey. There's a protagonist and there's a guide, and the metaphor is that, you know, your client is Luke Skywalker and you're Yoda, and there are 12 steps. And this poor guy, a financial advisor, who all he wanted to do was get some emails out the door, and every time that he sat down to do it, he would just be like, whoa, 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 okay, which step comes first? Am I on step 6 or step 7? It just is so darn complicated. And ultimately, it's a really great model if you want to write a screenplay, if you want to write the next Star Wars or whatever. But it's not a great model if you want to simply create a good email, a good video script, a good social post that sells. And you know, you make this point in your book, Persuasion Story Code, that in the end, the bottom line is that the hero's journey model for creating content, it doesn't really work that well. The simple stories focused on selling are what work, and you don't have to worry about all this 12-step nonsense.
I know. It's amazing. And, you know, I think it's good to know about the hero's journey, and it's even good to know it when you're watching a movie or you're watching a Netflix series, and you can start to see, oh, I kind of know where this is going, and but I wonder how they're going to do it, and that was interesting, and that was amazing. But for what we do, you know, we're not primarily entertainers, right? I mean, we're business people. We solve problems, and we sell stuff. Anyway, thanks for your take on it. That was really good. Let's talk about your method, your approach, story power. You have three guiding story power principles. Please walk us through them.
Yeah. So the first is keep the focus on prospects' emotional journeys. And when we talk about journeys, you know, we're talking really about selling. There's always a before, there's always an after. So if you focus in your content on where is the prospect now? What are they feeling? Are they suffering? What's the problem they're struggling with? And where do they want to go? What does the journey look like? You're going to be in a great position to assemble content.
Second, great.
And yeah, go ahead.
Let me interrupt. I really like that because, you know, if someone has an experience or goes to a certain provider or buys a certain product and a friend says, so what was it like? That's what the friend's really asking for. What was it like when you started? And then, you know, what was it like afterwards? So I love that. That's a great principle. I'm sorry. Go ahead with your
second one. And I'll tie it actually back to your last question with the whole hero's journey. I see so much copy. This stuff sticks out like a sore thumb. The ones who have been coached in this concept. And first of all, you'll see that word guide all over their content. We will guide you. I am a trained guide, blah, blah, blah. And all of that focus is on me, Yoda, you need me. And, right. And there's so little focus on the prospect and their emotional journey, and it just misses the mark from a sales perspective. So the second principle, keep it personal and keep it human. And this fundamentally is what makes a story, right? Human beings, characters, personal. And when I say personal, it doesn't mean that you, the storyteller, have to be in it, although that is something that can work a lot. But human beings, not just concepts, not just lectures from on high about here's what you need to know about topic X. The more personal, the more human, the more story powered it is, the more you're going to connect with human beings.
Absolutely. A lot of people who are in the tech space or even focused on a product that's not tech think that a story about the product without including people, and we talked about this when I was on your Mastermind Book Club a few days ago, that people are going to be interested in that. They're not there. People are interested in other people. Now, they may be interested in your technology in relation to how it affects other people, but it's ultimately about people, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And we make, this is why stories stick, right? Because people are interested in people. And yes. And we remember stories. They stick with us in ways that stats and data and details don't. And it's all just our own interest in other people. And that's why human and personal stories work.
Excellent. And what's your third principle?
Keep it simple. We've already talked about that, you know, and not just the hero's journey. I've seen some other so-called storytelling for business experts who have 10-step processes and 12-step processes. And there's a thing called Freytag's pyramid, which people who are playwrights are all into. You know, you need to master Freytag's pyramid and Aristotle's dramatic framework and hero's journey. No. Keep it simple. And the more simple you can keep it, you wrote a whole book about this, that very short, simple stories, they work as long as you keep your eye, on the ball and apply the very principles that we've been discussing.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you. I love your idea about story frameworks, too. Mm-hmm. And I think they make a lot of sense for copywriters and business owners. Now, I suppose that you could say the hero's journey is a framework, but, you know, if you put it on a piece of paper, it would scroll, you know, on 4 or 5 feet. We're talking about keeping it simple. You have a PLAN framework. Could you walk us through that?
Yeah, if you think about the emails that you love that are also effective, or even a long-form sales letter, or a webinar, all of them have 4 elements, sometimes repeating, but there are 4 elements in them. First is P, promise. This goes back to keep the focus on the prospect's emotional journey. Good sales copy, good content, always has some promise explicitly stated or implied. You're reading this, or by reading this, you're going to go from point A to B, or this is going to happen. And it's not the, you know, just you're going to get some feature. It's about benefits and about transformation. So promise first. Second is lesson. What is it that you need to know or do or buy or get in order to achieve said promise? So every good email and piece of content is built on those two things. Promise, and here's what you need to do to achieve said promise. Now, what gives it story power? There's an anecdote, a human and personal anecdote that acts as the vehicle to deliver the promise and the lesson. And then the fourth one, and this is one that a lot of copywriters, of course, know this well, but a lot of business owners and aspiring thought leaders, coaches, consultants, they resist this one, and it's next step. There always has to be a next step, some sort of call to action. It's not necessarily buy the product. It might just be reply to this email and I'll send you something, or reply to this email and I want feedback. Keep the movement and the momentum going. Sign up for my webinar, download this thing, buy this product, reply to this. There always has to be a next step. And I want to elaborate just a little bit on this one, because there is a really, really pervasive myth out there that I have to debunk. And that is this idea that the 80-20 rule, 80% of your content should be valuable and 20% of it can be promotional. And that balance is really important. That's just total, total nonsense, because it sets up a dynamic in your audience mind that there's the valuable content that doesn't have promotional. And then there's the promotional stuff that, okay, I'll suffer through the imposition of that because most of the time they're sending valuable stuff. No. Promise, Nathan. Lesson, anecdote, next step. All four things, value and promotion together in all of the content.
I just want to add real quick that mindset of 80% valuable content. What I found is that actually trains your prospects not to value you, because they see you give it away and they say, well, if they think it should be free, it's probably not that valuable. It also fills your list with freebie seekers and DIYers, not buyers.
Yep. Amen, Nathan. Spot on. And this idea of the next step, you are enforcing the idea with your followers that they are on a journey with you.
I was talking to a client yesterday, running millions of dollars of ads, cold Facebook ads and Google ads and possibly others. And he said that there needs to be value in each one of them. And his definition of value, I think, is much closer to what you're talking about than this, you know, kind of scaredy cat rule of, oh my God, don't let them know you're selling anything.
Right.
And his idea was value is the promise of something they want. That in out itself is value. Value is showing them how to get out of a situation that they're in that they don't want to be in. So, yeah, I think it's time for all of us to revisit that point a little. Okay, we actually talked about this kind of in another context before the call. But let's talk about Gene Schwartz's speech at Rodale and the idea that copy is written. It's not written. Copy is assembled.
Yeah. Yeah. So Gene Schwartz, great copywriter, wrote a book called Breakthrough Advertising that a lot of copywriters consider sort of a seminal work, a Bible of the industry, if you will. And after he retired, or as he was nearing retirement, I'm not sure which, he went and gave a speech at Rodale, a publishing house with some of the best copywriters in the world. And this line came out, copy is not written, copy is assembled. And when we were talking before we went on air, I shared with you that that quote is easily the one that I share more often than any with any of my clients, because there's a powerful story implied in that. And it is the story of the people that I work with and wish to help. The before, copy is written. sitting in front of the blank screen, waiting for the muse to strike, thinking, well, I'm not a writer, I can't do this. Content creation is so hard. And then the after is, I've done the work, I've gathered the building blocks. Eugene Schwartz, by the way, was the greatest researcher of all the copywriters. That's why he was the best, gathering the building blocks. I understand the frameworks, which are not rocket science, and I can assemble the pieces into the frameworks. And when you remind someone who's struggling with the notion of content creation, who might believe the idea that, oh, if you get good, persuasive, client-attracting content out there, you can build businesses on that. They may believe that, but they feel stuck. When you help them realize, no, copy's not written. It's not a magic art. It doesn't require you to be some kind of creative genius. It is a craft, an act of assembly, and I can teach you how to do it. Here is the framework to do it. The relief and the confidence and the momentum that that builds is just monumental.
Have you had that experience with clients you're coaching or training?
Oh, amen. Yeah. The guy I was talking about before, who was all stuck in the hero's journey stuff.
And financial advisor guy.
Financial advisor. And once we sort of introduced the plan framework, he absolutely broke through. I'll give you another story, another example. An executive coach, before she met me, she helps CEOs and high-level executives. And among the things she does is she helps them organize their calendars and their life and helps them learn to delegate, improve communication skills, and so forth. And so she had put out a blog post, 5 tips to delegate more effectively. Email and blog post. Here are 5 tips to delegate more effectively. Tip number 1. Tip number 2.
Now, excuse me while I yawn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just blah, blah, blah. We call that information-only lecture from on high, the information trap. I am an expert. I am going to share nuggets of my expertise with my audience, and they are going to fall at my feet because I share this expertise. Well, guess what? That didn't work before AI, and it works even less now when with an easy button you can spit out information-only content in a nanosecond.
And there's another problem, and we've had a coach on the call who is also a psychology professor. She says that when you try and create dependency and, I don't know, fealty, loyalty with your clients in that way, you get the wrong people on your list.
That's right.
You're better off to find people who want to be empowered. Then they'll actively listen to you and put it to work, and, you know, the pie gets bigger.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm sorry. So please go on. But
That's great. And so she brought me in. And we had a conversation. I said, great, you know, delegation, I get it. I've been a business owner. I know the importance of it, but give me a story. Tell me about a business owner that you've worked with. And I'm gonna give you the story in as short a version, you know, inspired by you and persuasion story code as I can. This is the story she told me. Business owner never, ever went on vacation. Business owner finally, after 20 years, went away for 2 weeks, returned, everything was awesome. What did he do to make that change? He learned delegation. So she, in effect, she told me that story in a longer form. And what we ended up with was an email with the subject line, how a stressed out owner let go and got away. Now that subject line alone is screaming to the people that she wants to reach. Here's a transformation story for you. Are you stressed out before? Would you like to let go and get away? Hell yeah, I would. All right. And then the story begins. I know a business owner who ran his company for 20 years and never took a vacation longer than a long weekend. You know, if he ever left the office, he worried that all hell would break loose, that, people would call him and say, "Boss, help, what do I do now?" He always was stressed out. He never was able to get away. Sound familiar? Well, this business owner finally was able to get away. Last year, he took a two-week vacation. He had the time of his life. When he returned, the company was humming. His employee morale was up. What had changed?
Okay, let me stop you right there, because what I'd like to point out is I haven't heard the word delegation once in that story.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
And yet, right? Yeah. And yet, it's a much better way of selling how she can help them learn to delegate and going, "Five secrets of delegation from your executive coach," exactly. Super guru, right?
Exactly. And so what she's done, story power principle number one, put the focus on the prospect's emotional journey, used an anecdote to deliver a really powerful promise, and then she transitions from, you know, so by the way, plan, P-L-A-N, that doesn't mean that you start with the promise, then give the lesson, and then say, "Let me tell you a story to demonstrate this." The story is delivering first the promise, and then she says, "What changed?" And she says, "He learned to delegate. Here are five tips to delegate more effectively." And she shared the exact same tips that were in the boring blah, 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 information only, put David to sleep email. But now people are halfway through the email. They're on the edge of their seat. They're already sold. Mm-hmm. They bought the promise, or else they wouldn't still be reading. And once they get through the five tips, there's a next step, call to action. If you would like to learn how to implement these tips and to delegate effectively so you can relieve stress, break free, and get away, schedule a free complimentary consultation, so on and so forth. That is perfect example of promise, lesson. The lesson is learn to delegate. Here are five tips. Anecdote to deliver it. Next step. And once she understood, these human stories, getting content out the door, attracting clients, it became a completely different ballgame.
Yeah, that's such a great example. Thanks. So let's talk about the three E's. In your book, you talk about the three E's. What are they?
Yeah, and this goes to, well, how do you figure out the promise? How do you understand what is this journey my prospects are on? And there are three E's that help you think about it. Number one is that you have to empathize. You have to put the focus on the prospect and empathize. Understand where they are. Understand what they're feeling. I used the word problem earlier. Understand their problems. Here's another myth I want to debunk. A lot of people will say, "Well, I don't want to focus on prospects' problems. That's fear-mongering, and I don't want to be a fear-monger." No. When a prospect has a problem, and you meet them where they are, and you articulate that problem with understanding and empathy, you connect with them. Their response is, "Oh, you get me. You know what I'm feeling." And that is a critical first step in understanding the journey. But it's not all about what some people teach in sales, you know, just put the knife in, turn it until they're bleeding and they're so desperate that they just have to hire you. No, you meet them where they are, but then the second E is you have to help them envision where they want to go. They may know, they may not. So helping them paint that picture of what is the after that goes with their before is a really critical thing. And understanding that idea that they may tell you what they think the after is, it may not be actually what the market truly needs and understands and desires. And that gets into some advanced marketing and market research things that we won't dive into today, but envisioning. Then the third thing is enable. You're not going to sell unless you're able to paint the picture that I have the bridge from before to after. I can enable the journey. And that's where the L in plan comes in. Okay, the promise is you empathize, met them where they are. You've envisioned, told them where they can go. And now the lesson is, here's how we're going to enable that journey. And so understanding those three things is really critical to build plan-based content.
That's really great. In the time that we have left, could you tell us a little more about your book and anything else you're involved in that our listeners would be interested in?
Sure. Thank you for that. So the book is called Story Power Marketing, Proven Methods to Create Client Attracting Profit Generating Content.
Put it right in front of your face.
Yeah. There it is.
There you go. Thank you. Okay, good. Yeah. Story Power Marketing. Yes.
Story Power Marketing. I practice what I preach. I open the book with a story, and I tell, lots of stories in the book, all for the purpose of helping you understand the plan framework. I unpack the whole thing. I create examples. I share resources. And I also give the thing away. If you want a PDF copy of the book, you can go. Is this okay, David, to share?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Go to yourgiftfromtom.com, yourgiftfromtom.com/David, yourgiftfromtom.com/David. And okay. You can download a free PDF copy of the book. And then at that point, you'll get some emails from me. I send story-powered emails that practice what I preach and would love to have you to quote our mutual friend, Brian Kurtz, in my online family. Brian is the guy who first introduced me to the idea, and it's an important marketing idea, that the people on your list are not just names and emails. You're building a family, you're building a relationship, and that's certainly how I view the people who read my book or who sign up for my list. So your free gift from tom.com/David, and that's the book. You also mentioned, David, Implementum. One of the things that I discovered, I sold my software company in 2019, started Story Power Marketing to focus on the content creation piece, and then realized that a lot of my clients were drafting better emails, better social posts, better presentation decks, but not getting them out the door because they were getting stuck with their tech stack or lack thereof. That's when I started the business Implementum, which is marketing technology and operations technology to help you after you've created those stories to get them in front of the right people at the right time. So I'd be happy to.
People find out about that on your website, Story Power Marketing?
They can go to Implementum. Think Implement and Momentum mushed together. So implementum.net. That's where you can learn about Implementum.
Implementum.net. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
We will make sure to have links to both of those in the show notes. I just want to close with something that we didn't really cover today, which is the importance of story. The reason why story works so well is, especially in sales, our prospects, our potential buyers are so used to and bombarded with marketing messages. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they sense it's a marketing message, their red flags go up, their defenses go up, and stories have the opposite effect. Stories pull those defenses down. They lead to where you are in the driver's seat. You've got the steering wheel. You get to choose where they go. And it's just one of those things that not enough marketers, not enough copywriters understand and implement well enough. So I really appreciate you coming on and sharing all of this today.
Yeah, thank you, Nathan. That was a really important point. And I loved when David chimed in when I was telling the story about the executive coach and the business owner. And yeah, halfway through, I hadn't even mentioned the delegation or it was a story. And the people reading that don't even realize that they've been sold because the story has effectively drawn them in. So thank you for emphasizing that. Yeah.
Tom, thank you so much for coming on. And if you enjoyed this episode, if you want links to Tom's website, head on over to copywriterspodcast.com. We'll have links in the show notes. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. When you have some copy and the performance of the copy is mission critical, who are you going to call? Not Ghostbusters. They don't do copy critiques, last time I checked. A lot of people, from the most advanced to the up-and-coming copywriters, reach out to me. I do copy critiques. One client, Brett Alcorn, has hired me 20 times. Yep, 20 times. That's because on the very first critique I did for him, he doubled his conversions on a video sales letter. Every month, I do a handful of critiques for GKIC members. These are copywriters and small business owners who are trained and experienced, but they need another set of experienced eyes to go over their copy to take it to the next level. One A-lister told me, I go over copy like an IRS auditor. Now, I wasn't sure whether to take that as a compliment or not, but he assured me it was. He said, I can find the one flaw or several flaws in copy that no one else was able to and make winning suggestions on how to fix them. So, when you need a copy critique, just go to garfinkelcoaching.com and click on the services tab, garfinkelcoaching.com, for a critique.